join me as we read together from the 5th chapter of Hebrews, our scripture lesson this morning. Let us read together. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications and loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Lord, bless the reading of your word and open our minds and our understanding. You know, getting inside of someone else's mind is really a difficult thing. Just ask Vonda. She's always saying, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And sometimes I don't even know that myself. Well, what makes people think and act the way they do? To understand that isn't easy. And as you listen to the news, have you ever thought to yourself or ever said out loud, what on earth was that person thinking? What was going through his head to make him do this? You know, we hear of a gunman entering a school and randomly shooting teachers and students. We hear of someone who's taken a child and brutally harmed that child in some way. And each time we hear those things, we shake our head, and because we can't fathom what has happened in that person's life or what is going on in their mind to bring them to that point to do such a thing. When I heard of a pastor who was called in to support a young mother and her two children who were shocked and traumatized by the unexpected death of their husband and father, the pastor relayed that he wondered, why did this father, after what seemed like a normal lunch period, time with the family, went out to the shed and ended his life? The police, the family, the friends, the neighbors, they all asked the same question. Why did he do it? What was going on in his head? He had a lovely wife. He had great kids. He had a good job. What led him to take such an extreme action? Everyone was trying to get inside his mind, but in the end, everyone had to admit they would never know why this happened. As much as they wanted to, they wouldn't have liked to know. Like they had some kind of insight into why this father, what he was thinking, they knew it was impossible. They would never really know. And we might ask, how much does Jesus understand what is happening in our lives? Ask yourself that. Does Jesus know why you're going through what you are right now? Why things are the way they are in your life? Why you do what you do, why you make the decisions you do. How much does Jesus understand what is happening in your life? You know, we live in a world that is different from the world that Jesus lived in first century Palestine. Does he understand our needs and our suffering? Can he empathize with what causes us to worry, especially those worries that upset us and stress us? Does he really know what is going on inside of your mind and what is really this stressing us to be specific. Since Jesus experienced none of these while here on earth, does he know what it's like to lie in a hospital bed? Does he know what it's like to be 70 or 80 years old and all that goes on with the aging body? Does he know about the stress that's involved as we go through the various stages of life, about getting married or raising children or dealing with teenagers or changing jobs or planning for retirement and then choosing the right moment that we finally give up our home and we decide to go into an aged facility for our care? Does Jesus understand those things? He didn't go through those things, did he? Does Jesus know and even care about these things? Which, you know, if you look at the big picture of the universe, these things are quite trivial, even though to us they make up what we live in every day. You see, we acknowledge that Jesus is God, that he was there at creation of the world, and that he now rules with power and authority. And as Paul wrote, Christ rules above all things, all heavenly rulers, authorities, above all powers, above all lords. He has a title superior to all the titles of authority in the world, or even in the world to come, in the next world. In Ephesians 2, it says. So Jesus is so totally different to us. His ways, his wisdom, his knowledge, his decisions are way beyond our comprehension. Jesus now sits at the right hand of God in heaven. And there, how well can Jesus appreciate the things that are happening in our lives right now? Has he ever had a sick day? Has he ever had to grapple with depression or terminal illness or to live in a dysfunctional family? You know, we know that Jesus was the one perfect person to walk on this earth. But that leads us to ask, was his personality, his character, his ability to cope and to endure, his patience and his understanding and his compassion so perfect from the moment he was born that it made him impossible for him to understand what it's like not to be perfect? You see, therein lies the question that is almost as old as Christianity itself. Years ago when I was in seminary, this was a topic that we were studying, and it's one that for centuries theologians had been studying. Was Jesus really human? Or was he God in human disguise? In other words, he was God, but he really didn't become one of us. And you see, the reason we discussed it then and has been discussed for centuries is because the answer we give is crucial. Among the things Christians believe is that through the birth and the life and the death of Christ, God became a part of what it means to be human. You see, God didn't stand aloof from our pain and trouble. He came right into the middle of it, into all that causes suffering and sadness and depression and sin and rebellion and death. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We say at Christmas, God came out of the divine realm and became a human being, leaving heaven and enduring all that was involved. He became a human being on this planet, including to be born like we are born. Because of Jesus being born in the flesh as a human, God can identify with us and know exactly what makes us tick, know exactly what we're going through, know exactly what we are up against. He actually cares for us as one who personally knows, because he does know, because he was born as a human. And he knows us inside and out. He knows what is really happening inside of us and the causes of our trauma and our drama and our lives better than we ourselves know why these things are happening. He knows all this because he has experienced it. He experienced it himself. We say that through Jesus, God knows what it's like to be hungry. Through Jesus, God knows what it's like to have plenty or to have little, to toil and to sweat. Because of Jesus, God knows the frustrations that we face. God comprehends what it's like to sleep peacefully. And because of Jesus, God knows what it's like to not get any sleep through the night at all. Jesus may not have been an old man, but he experienced the aches and the pains that old age bring, but he knew the pain for every muscle and every tendon and every gaping wound of the spear in his sides, and the wounds of the lashes on his back made him cry out in agony. He knew what pain and suffering was. Through Jesus, God personally knows the sneakiness of the temptations that we are up against. From Christ, God appreciates what it's like to be warmed by a smile of someone who shows kindness, and yet how to be snubbed by indifference and hate. God understands what it's like to enjoy a new friendship and to treasure someone who is a true dear friend. Because of Jesus, God knows what it's like to be affirmed, and he knows what it's like to be betrayed. God knows what it's like to suffer in the truth, to be misunderstood, to make enemies, to suffer emotionally, in physical agony, and to feel forsaken. Forsaken by everyone. At the cross, Jesus knows what it even feels like to be forsaken by God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Some people say that if Jesus is not divine, then Christianity is a hoax. And that's only part of the truth, because I tell you, I would say that if Jesus was not fully divine as God and fully human as he was born into this world, then Christianity is a hoax. You got to have both. Jesus is God, but he was born in the flesh with the same frailties that you and I. He had to depend upon God's spirit and power to be with him in order to do what he did. When the writer of Hebrews writes, in his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and tears to God. Here we find that the writer of Hebrews is reflecting on Jesus' agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he felt fear, dread, terror, and anxiety just as any of us would in those circumstances. You ever felt that? You ever got down on your knees to pray to God because you are desperate? Because you are afraid? Because something is threatening you? Because you don't know what to do? Because you're afraid what is happening to you? We probably will never suffer and go through that kind of concern as Jesus did, but we go through it, and Jesus knows what it's like for us to go through it. The letter to the Hebrew presents Jesus as the obedient son. Obedient led to suffering. And even though Jesus feared what he had to go through, because Jesus wasn't only dying on the cross, Jesus went to hell. He went to pay the penalty for hell. He went to pay the price for the sin. He went and paid all that so that we wouldn't have to. He was the Son who trusted God perfectly in these situations. And through his obedience, he gained forgiveness. Your forgiveness, my forgiveness, the forgiveness for all. When we buckle under the weight of suffering and depression, Jesus paid that price. For all those who doubt God's love for them, when life becomes more than can be endured, it was Jesus that has made it possible. You know, it's natural for us to shy away from suffering. I don't know about you, but I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through agony. I don't want to go through the pain. But it's not surprising that we dislike hard discipline and pain. It's natural. We would like a trouble-free life. Wouldn't you like a life where you didn't have to worry about anything? No worries, no problems, no anxiety. You didn't have to even think about it because everything was happy. Well, you see, the truth is, we need to face the truth that we often learn more through suffering than we do when we are given comfortable times. That's an amazing statement when you think about it. There's an element of sacrifice about it, and there is this idea that suffering, when you really go through suffering, and you turn your heart, your mind, your life toward the one that makes it possible for you to be over and above that, that you learn there's something through suffering that brings you closer to God. There's something through suffering that brings you dependent upon God. There's something that brings you thankful to God when you go through suffering. In other words, suffering helps us to become a more beautiful human being and person when we go through that, through the way that God would have us to go. You may know of times in your life when you were facing some kind of trial or some kind of suffering, and maybe it led you in your understanding of God. Maybe it helped you to understand that you needed to give up yourself and give up what you were trying to control and give it into the hands of God. And that suffering allowed you to be drawn closer to God. It helped you to develop your perseverance before God. It helped you to strengthen your faith and trust in God. It helped you to increase your awareness of the suffering of others and that God is the one that has the answer. You see, the path that Jesus was on when he was going through his time of praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying out, it said as if great drops of blood were falling from him and he was praying. He knew in that time that if he was obedient and he went through the suffering, that God would bring a blessing to him and to the world. And it brought about a cure for sickness, the sickness of sin. Even though Jesus never sinned, he knows the shame and the guilt that sin brings into our lives. He was nailed on a cross, but it was more than nails that held him there. You know, Jesus wasn't nailed on the cross and couldn't do anything about it. Oh, yes, he could have called down a legion of angels and stripped him from the cross, and he didn't have to hang on the cross because he had no other choice. It was a choice he made. It wasn't the nails that held him there. It was the sin and the shame and the guilt of you and me that put him on the cross. Because he said, unless I do, you will not be free. Unless I do, you will not be able to live before God without sin. And Jesus hung there and felt the shame and died for a sin that he didn't commit, but you and I did. He must have been overwhelmed with the sadness of how much evil humanity had done as he suffered for your sin and for mine and for the sin of the world. It was bearing down on him. And as the scripture says, he was wounded for our transgression, not his. He was bruised for our iniquities, not his. He was nailed to the cross because of us, not because of him. So when we look in the scriptures, we see Jesus in two different ways. In every way, Jesus is one of us. He is as human as you and I. He was born and he died. He knows in a very real way what it means to suffer pain and have needs, to feel vulnerable, to feel helpless, to feel scared. And the man Jesus died an undignified death on the cross as a sinner because he wanted to give his life for you and for me and to save all people. That's the first way the scripture tells us Jesus was human like you and I. But the scripture also says that Jesus is God. He created the world and he created us. And as our creator, he knows creation. He knows us more intimately than we can imagine. He knew us before we were born. Even before we were aware of ourselves, Jesus knew us. He rose from the dead and he rules in heaven, and he is our eternal high priest in heaven who presents our needs and our prayers for us at the Father's throne. I hope that you understand this. When you pray, Jesus takes your prayers and he presents them before God. And he prays and God sees those prayers as someone who has been forgiven, someone who is perfect, someone who is good. If God had to look at us and see us as we are, he would have a different understanding of the people we are. But through Jesus and what he's done, he looks at us as he looks at his son, Jesus. The Father hears the prayers that we pray as Jesus presents them to him. You know, at the beginning, I talked about getting into the mind of someone else, and understanding where that person is coming from and what makes him or her act in a certain way. What makes us tick might be a bit of a mystery to other people. But it's no mystery to Jesus. Jesus knows why you do what you do. Jesus knows what you do. But would we come now before God knowing that every failure that we have, knowing with everything that we are afraid of and suffer and struggle with, would we come to Jesus now knowing that he is listening to our prayers and he's praying to the Father for us? And Jesus knows and understands not only why you do it and what you do, he knows how you feel about it. But most important of all, and that's why I'm sharing this message, he knows what you need and how to overcome that and how to come into the grace of God. And I want us to pray about that together right now. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you this morning to thank you for your gift of life. And Lord, you know what's going on in our hearts and our lives and our minds. You know why we are the way we are. You know about our failures. You know about our hopes and aspirations. And God, you know what we need this morning. And I'm just praying, Father, that everyone here in this place of worship this morning, Lord, would surrender themselves to you and just give themselves to you, Father, and say, Lord, not my will, but may your will be done. I want to come to you anew this morning, Father. Ask you to forgive me for our faith. Ask, Father, that you give me the strength and the hope and the presence of your spirit and your love, Father, so that I might go from this place different than I came in this morning, that I might go away from here made new. Oh God, not my will, but your will be done. This I pray in Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to invite you to stand to surrender your will to God, and may his will be done in your life this morning. Let us worship him. He sees you. God hears you. And his prayer is that God's will might be done in your life. And what is that? God's will is that you surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ, and that you give your life to him. May thy will be done, Lord, as we go from this place. We go with our hand in yours. Guide us by your love and your spirit. And may we go in peace, for we go in your name.